and only expectation is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keeps truth forever, and never forsakes the works of his own hands. Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from him that is, and that was, and that is to come, from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, which is the faithful witness, the first begotten of death, and the prince of all the kings of the earth. Amen. Let's continue our service by singing Psalter 431, the stanza 4. Open, says the Lord, wide thy mouth, believing this my covenant word. I will, if thou plead, fill thine every need, all thy wants relieving. The fourth of 431. Congregation, the reading of the scriptures can be found in the letter of Paul to the Ephesians, the first chapter, Ephesians chapter 1, before the 12 articles and after the Dutch canons, the first chapter, articles 7 and 8. Dutch canons, first chapter about election, and then the articles 7 and 8. Ephesians 1, 12 articles and afterwards, Dutch canons, first heading, 7 and 8.
I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he arose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, to the saints which are at Ephesus, and to the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace be to you, and peace from God our Father, and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. Having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of his grace, wherein he hath abounded toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known unto us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he hath purposed in himself, that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are in earth, even in him, in whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will, that we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ, in whom ye also trusted after that ye heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance, until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus, and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Article 7 and 8 of the first chapter of the Confession of Faith. No, this is the wrong. So the first head of Doctrine of Divine Predestination, Article 7 and 8, and you can find it on page 98. Election is the unchangeable purpose of God, whereby, before the foundation of the world, he hath, out of mere grace, according to the sovereign good pleasure of his own will, chosen from the whole human race, which had fallen through their own fault from their primitive state of rectitude into sin and destruction, a certain number of persons to redemption in Christ, whom he from eternity appointed the mediator and head of the elect and the foundation of salvation. This elect number, though by nature neither better nor more deserving than others, but with them involved in one common misery, God hath decreed to give to Christ, to be saved by him, and effectually to call and draw them to his communion by his word and spirit, to bestow upon them true faith, justification, and sanctification. And having powerfully preserved them in the fellowship of his Son, finally, to glorify them for the demonstration of his mercy and for the praise of his glorious grace. As it is written, "According as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted in the beloved." Ephesians 1 verse 4 till 6. And elsewhere, "Whom he did predestinate, them he also called, and whom he called, them he also justified, and whom he justified, them he also glorified." Romans 8 verse 30. Article 8. There are not various decrees of election, but one and the same decree respecting all those who shall be saved, both under the Old and New Testament. Since the Scripture declares the good pleasure, purpose, and counsel of the divine will to be one, according to which he hath chosen us from eternity, both to grace and glory, to salvation and the way of salvation, which he hath ordained that we should walk therein.
Let's seek the face of the Lord in prayer. When we at this evening are coming together for a service of the doctrines of grace, we ask thee to give us a mind and a heart to understand these things, and yeah, more to practice it by grace, not to be knowledgeable only as a doctor or a pastor or one who studied a lot, but as a child of the purpose to grace and glory. And we might know these things, the working and operations of thy Spirit, by drawing us unto thee. O Lord, we pray that thou would give us understanding and practical experience of it, like we see it in the Dort's canons. We pray, Lord, that thou would bless them who are to be blessed, and outside of thee have no blessing, no grace, and are tired of the burdens and don't know how to walk the way. That thou would uphold them, carry them, take them in thy arms and bring them home by grace alone. Remember the sick and afflicted, the old of age, those attacked spiritually. Lord, our help be in the name of thee, who created heaven and earth, who gave thy Son to be a propitiation for all the sins of thy people, for the purpose of grace and glory. We pray for the sick and afflicted, the old in age, Mrs. Fomarek, Drogas, Bernard, for Warden, and others. We pray that thou would extend thy grace where they are, when Bernard goes to the chapel. Please speak to his soul. Remember the work in mission fields, and especially we pray for our St. Tim in Ethiopia, where in his village 100 or more were shot. It's dangerous, please protect him and his family and all the workers in the businesses. Please, Lord. Please. Remember the church worldwide in the mission fields, and we pray the Malawi Reverend Oman, when he goes for his last time being among the congregations who he served by grace so many years. We love them, and they love him. Remember Mr. Van der Bas, or Reverend Van der Bas, when he is going there, and that organization man, to support the congregation, and the 220 congregations, for church order's sake, and bringing together the things we needed in the churches. Please protect the church from all idolatry and witchcraft, which sometimes dwells among them. We pray also for the work in Serbia, while there is a little school for young men to be educated to be a pastor. We pray that I would have mercy upon our friend Simon Ralevich and the others teaching. Remember also the university in Laval, where young people, 130 and 120, are educated to be pastors and theologians and teachers. Remember the professors and give them knowledge, spiritual knowledge. In that area in Quebec, where only 0.9% are even going only to church. Lord, don't forsake us, please. Also in our congregation, when all things are sometimes difficult to understand, within thy wisdom, all things are perfect. Although sometimes we question the things, Lord, forgive us. Be with the orphans, the widows and the widowers, here or somewhere else. Remember the congregations in the Netherlands. And I pray that the pastor called Staphorst might accept the call. There were people of the who believed that he would come. Please confirm it. And make him ready to minister in such a big congregation. Lord, we pray for all the ministers around and the congregations, big and small, that thou would use the ministers for the conversion of sinners and the glory of thy name. Bring us back to the truth of thy scriptures. Not reasoning. We don't need theologians, but practical Christians who know the things by experience of grace. Be with us, Lord, please. Teach us to teach for Christ's sake only. Amen. Congregation, we continue in the first heading of the Canons of Dort, and now we continue in the Articles 7 and 8. And the Articles 7 and 8 deal with salvation, but especially the way of salvation. In 8, it said, He has chosen us from eternity both to grace and glory, to salvation and the way of salvation. You can't say, I'm elected and therefore now all things are well. If you're elected, you're elected not only to salvation, to grace and glory, but you're also elected to the way of salvation. How God saves you. And I have to say already, before we continue, it's all or nothing. Whom he predestinated, he also called. And whom he called, he justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. He has glorified. You can't say I'm called and not justified. You can't say I'm called and my sins are not forgiven me. You can't say it. God doesn't operate in half salvations. You see it in Romans 8:30. We call it, congregation, the Ordo Salutis. That's a Latin word, and it means the order of salvation. God saves in a orderly way. Calling, justification, sanctification, glorification. That's the way in which God saves his people, and that all in Christ. Now first I have to make a distinction between election and predestination. They're different words, and they have a different perspective. Election and predestination. You see that in Article 7, it's the unchangeable purpose. God chooses for a purpose. His own purpose. Now at the end, in this article, you see what's the purpose. The purpose is the glory of mercy. He will be glorified by grace bestowed upon his people. He predestinates for his own glory, for the glory of grace. And therefore the Lord Jesus says, I don't desire and I don't, God says, I don't need sacrifice. He doesn't need anything of us. But he gives mercy. He will be glorified in grace, in Christ. That's what his purpose is all about. To be most merciful to the chief of sinners. See the purpose. I'm not going into details about the fall, and I do, but we have done it in the last 3 weeks, and it's again. But the main purpose of these two articles is that God chooses not only salvation, but the way of salvation. How you will be saved. Again and again. People think, no, if I'm elected. Yeah, if you're elected, you're called. And if you're called, you're justified. And if you're justified, you will be glorified. And you will be home ultimately to the glory of grace. And not halfway. Not halfway. That's what our fathers taught. Not only regeneration and then it's... No. Justification. Glorification. Eternal glory for God. Now we deal with it. But first we'll sing 318, 3, 4, and 5. 318, 3, 4, and 5. Where we will sing together 318, 3, 4, and 5. The stone rejected and despised is now the cornerstone. How wondrous are the ways of God, unfathomed and unknown. 3, 4, and 5. 318. this article, seven, starts with these words: election is the unchangeable purpose of God. Predestination is to go to a destination, predestinate. God elects from the fallen human race his own people, and he gives them a destination. They are predestinated from eternity to be saved to grace and glory. There are always two words. Election means God draws out of the fallen human race, and I come to it. But he has a purpose. His own glory. The glory of mercy. Election, and I say it for the third time today, has a purpose. The glory of God. God cares for his own glory. Now, what's election? It's an unchangeable purpose. Now, listen, first this, before you listen further. Do you know what it says, election? There is a hidden side on it. We have never been in that council. It's a decree of God. And that's hidden for us. I don't like if people say to me, I'm elected. I say, how do you know it? It should be known in the ways of salvation. Election is in the counsel of God before the creation or foundation of the world. That's hard to imagine. That all things from beginning to end in history were already in the counsel of God. Are in the counsel of God. According to his sovereign will. To his good pleasure. What pleases him. We don't have a God that goes like this. I fall and now I'm saving you. God doesn't react, but acts. It's his sovereign will which pleases him. That's a comfort for me. That salvation doesn't depend on my choice, my faith, my holiness, my nature, but only on his good pleasure, of his sovereign will. To save, and that's what we have dealt last week with, of the fallen human race. The Dutch fathers stand on the standpoint of infralapsarism. I've dealt with it last week. Infralapsarism is in the counsel of his pleasure, he saw the fallen human race. And out of that fallen human race, before the foundation of the world, he knew he has chosen sovereignly his own. Now, in the first place, this article says that the fall in paradise is history. It's doubted today. I think even by Keller and those so-called new reformers. They say, and even in the Netherlands, Vandenbrink and others, they say the fall belongs to creation. Death is created. If death is created, Christ is no Savior. Death is punishment, sin rewarded by eternal damnation. And that's how we are. That's the situation in which we by nature all are. And if good God would left us there, what can we say? May I ask, is here a sinner who is convicted and say, that am I? And if God would leave you there, what can you say? Thou art righteous, and I'm a sinner. If God, there was an old lady, in the old Reverend Rose, that is the father of my dear friend, Willem Rose, and pastor too. He once came in a house, and there's an old lady, and he heard her praying. As he prayed, we would say dogma, according to the dogma, and not right. But she said, Lord, if I'm not in the book of election, please write me down now today. For I'm lost. If we go by dogmatics, but if you are a lost and ruined sinner, she said, Lord, please. Yeah, but Pastor, that's not reformed. No, it's experimental. Seeing that you're lost and only can be saved barely of grace by the good pleasure of His will. Secondly, I'm not going into every detail, but you see that the fall is history. We had a time when all things were good, and we lived in holy communion in the image of God, relational, in likeness. All the things God gave us in paradise. But by unbelief and disobedience, we listened to the devil, trespassed the commandments, and on our way to hell and destruction. Please, know it. Know it. And now what's election? That God, out of that whole fallen human race, elects His own. But listen, if it's infralapsarianism, that means that God saw the fallen human nature, the fallen human beings, and out of that fallen human race He elected, He can only elect in Christ. God can't elect sinners. He has to reject them. But how can God, and that is in this article, how can God elect sinners? Only in His Son. And that's so. Which He wrought in Christ. And He has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be a head of all things to the church, which is His body. So in that council of election, God elected His Son to be the head of the church, in whom He would have a good pleasure in His children. Sovereign grace. He couldn't, and now I say it again, He couldn't elect sinners.
only in Christ. And he did it.
His own will, chosen from the whole human race, which had fallen through their own fault from the primitive state of rectitude into sin and destruction, a certain number of persons to redemption in Christ, whom he from eternity appointed the mediator and head of the elect. So in election, God appointed his Son to be the head of all the elect, the head of the body of all the children of God. And the foundation of my salvation, foundation is where I rest on. He is my head, but he is all the foundation on which the whole church rests. For salvation. He is the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end of the reborn children of God. Now, who are the elect? In themselves, no better than others. The Bible teaches clearly there is no difference. We have dealt with it this morning. Esau and Jacob by nature are the same. Only Jacob got grace. Plain hearted. And Esau was left to his own destruction. And again, when I even say this and when I preach this, I know there is some reaction. I know some of you would say, why the one and the other not? I say to you, it's a wonder that God got some for his own glory. And if he would leave me behind, what can you say? It's only of grace. But again, it's the hidden counsel of God. We know it out of the scriptures. But we don't know precisely who is elected. That's not our business. You'll find out if God works in you. The way of salvation. But you can't say, I'm elected and now I don't have any problem, I'm an elected one. Then you boast in the things which you don't know. So when preachers are preaching election without calling, they're not preaching the truth. Yeah, Pastor, if I'm elected, then all things will be well with me. Yeah, right. But if you're elected, God shows it to you. By calling you, and I'm coming further. The first fruit of election is calling. Now what does he do in that council? He gives the fallen human beings, elected by grace, to Christ. Father, I pray for those whom thou hast given me. God the Father says, my people are yours. Save them for glory of grace. And he says, I don't pray for the world. Now I start preaching this and in the world they hate me. But he doesn't pray for the world. He prays for those whom the Father has given him in that council of peace. Because they were elected in him according to the good pleasure of his will. And now he gives them to Christ.
that he would be their head and savior. But congregation, that happens before you know it. It's all of grace. I had a professor, and I've said it once to you, and he was more a liberal, but he liked Salvation Army sermons. When on Monday morning we had our lecture, he said, "Where have you been?" And then he started asking. And he said, "Do you know where I've been? I've been on Sunday with the Salvation Army. I like them." So that professor, dogmatic, high educated, was sitting under Salvation Army. I liked it for him. And we could sometimes talk pleasantly. But one day he said, "I tell you what." He said, "What then?" He says, "The bondage of the failure are right. If there was no election of grace, there was no grace. Then we had to do it. That's no grace." He says, "They are right." I never expected him to say it. But he knew the scriptures. It's all by grace. Well, congregation, what happened? He not only elects, but he leads them in the ordo salutis, in the way, in the order of salvation. If God elects you, he brings you in the order of salvation. God saves in an orderly way. Everyone. That's what our fathers testify out of the scriptures. Ephesians 1, you find the same things. And what's the first thing? Effectual calling. If God has ordained you to salvation, he will call you. Effectively. Now, I have to discern. You're all called. But if it's effective, you know you are called. You hear his voice and feel his power. We call it effectual calling. And he does it by law and gospel. By the law he condemns you and make room for the gospel to draw you to Christ. Our fathers later testified about regeneration. But the effectual calling is regeneration. It's renewance of mind. It's renewance of affections. It's enlightened by the Spirit. Know me. Know God. And to know Christ. Can you give me an example of an effectual calling? Levi, he was sitting at the tax office. And the Lord Jesus came and he said, "Levi, make up your mind. Make a decision. Make a decision to die. But you can do it or can't do it. It's up to you." That's how they preach today. No, he didn't. What did he say? "Follow me." And with such a power he stood up. Left his business to others and followed Jesus. That's what I'm saying. If God calls you, he calls you. And he gives you the power to follow. And he doesn't leave it to your decision. He decided. He shows you your sins. And purposes Christ. You know you're called. And he is mightier than you are. Levi stood up. Saul, on the way to Damascus, a theologian of high standards, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He didn't even know God. But then he said, what wilt thou that I shall do? Every child of God has such an experience that he sits by himself in church all alone. And there are sitting hundreds around him. But God says, Saul, Saul, David, Levi, Peter. And the purpose of that calling is calling you to Christ, to the communion with Christ. You can't say, I'm called or regenerated and now I'm there already and I know all these things. No, you're called to the communion with Christ. He leads you to Christ, makes room by the law for Christ. And do you know this is a problem if you preach like it? They say, oh, you're always Christ and right. Now take the other side and go away if you want to. But he calls you to communion with Christ. Do you know Christ immediately? I don't know, but one thing you know. For the first time, I had an elder at All Blessed Home. He says, after 30 years, I for the first time knew what meant the name Jesus. I've never known what it meant to me, saving me from sin. I need him. Oh, God. And he draws you irresistibly to the communion with Christ. Now, how can you have communion with Christ? He bestows upon you faith. And what's faith? To receive what God gives you. Christ is revealed to you that moment when you were condemned to death, when you lost all hope. He revealed Christ to your soul and he gave faith to receive him. Isn't it? Absolutely. Therefore, that old poem says, the moment, the hour, I first believed. And if you don't know him, dear, don't rest in your transformation. But you need him. And if you don't need him, and don't know him, don't speak about effectual calling. We always want to be a Christian outside of God, outside of Christ. A reborn Christian, knowing my misery. Surely you should know your misery to the depth of it, condemnation, and you don't know how to live anymore. But if it's true, it's not only sorrow, it's also faith. Repentance and faith. And I know there might be here a convicted sinner in our midst. And when Christ is preached, he says, I need him. Oh, I need him. Give me Jesus or I die. And it might take a long time before by a true faith you receive him to your soul. That's effectual calling. By his word, he uses the means. And he applies it by the Spirit, by his word, and the word is law and gospel. I've dealt several times with it, and I'm not going into details, but that's how God, he first convicts before he gives you faith. He first puts you to judgment, and then he sets you free. That's the order. Law and gospel. But applied by the Spirit, many are called. They hear all law and gospel, but never have been lost, never have been saved, never have been cut off, never been engrafted in Christ, never having that saving experience to the destruction of their own religious behavior. When you're gone to get grace, may I ask you, child of God in our midst, do you know the hour when he embraced your soul for the first time? You know it. It will never vanish out of your mind. If they would awake me this night, I could say that happened in that hour I first believed, brought to the communion of him by faith. May I ask you, tell me what he was for you. You're all in, all, and you were his nothing. He was your life, and you were his death. He was your righteousness, and you were his sin. You got his heaven, and he took your hell. Oh, wondrous grace. Oh, wondrous grace. The hour I first believed. Let's sing 353, 1 through 3. 353, 1 through 3. Sing together 353. He's saying that in truth. Yeah, it's a wonderful Psalm 124, but we'll sing three stanzas of it. to bestow upon them true faith. That's a gift, and we have dealt with it. And then you see two words, justification and sanctification in Christ. Now, justification is God pronounce you righteous. It's a matter of judgment. In yourself you are not right and righteous, but he says, ye sinner are righteous in my Son. Or make it plain to you, if God calls you, he brings you into judgment. He puts judgment upon you. He brings you in a trial. And the law condemns you and the devil laughs at you. And he convicts you to death. And he goes dead deep that you have nothing to say anymore if he would condemn you to everlasting destruction. Have it been with you? I think so. And that moment, when all the waves of the wrath of God, and I saw my eternal destination, lost my hope, God gave his Son. And he said, let's change. I take your spot. Like Isaac at Moriah. And take you my spot. Ye sinner, by true faith in Christ, are righteous as if you had never sinned or done any evil. As if you had yourself obeyed the law. And pay the penalty. God brings you into judgment. And I always hear it. If people are being and have been in judgment, then grace is a wonder. Unexpectedly. It breaks you. How worthy, sinner. And congregation, I want to know if it's true with you. And if there after grace, if you look to yourself, are you better? He says, ye condemned sinner, you're holy in me. It's pronouncing to be, we call it, imputed righteousness. It's not worked righteousness. It's not by my works. But he puts the righteousness of Christ on my account, and he takes the sins and he puts it on the account of Christ. By faith, eh? I can't explain it, can you? One thing I know, the moment he set me free, I was free indeed. I know the place where I jumped of joy when that burden was taken from me, when Christ became my substitute. My all in all. And in Christ, I was having peace with God. But listen again. It's not changing me. It's saying to me, as you are a sinner, in me, you're a new creature. You're clean by the word which I speak to you. That's imputed righteousness. I can't explain it. Some people say, yeah, then I have to be better. No, you don't have to be better. And you won't be better. You're good in Christ. New in Christ. New in Christ. I speak to the people of God. How long is it to go that God forgave your sins? Was it like yesterday? Or is it so long ago? Have you left your first love? Is the devil saying to you, is it true? Can you trust God in Christ? But if you by faith are united with Christ, the Spirit comes and dwells in you. You can't have forgiveness of sins by His blood unless you know the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. That Spirit of adoption by which we cry, Ephesians 1, Abba, Father. Your judge becomes your father. And his spirit testifies with your spirit that you are a child of God. Pastor, I don't know these things. It's Ordo Salutis. Whom he justifies, he sanctifies. And the Holy Spirit is God in us. God the Father is above us. Christ is with us. And the Holy Spirit is in us. And who knows sin the most? When the Spirit is in you. You start crying, Romans 7, oh miserable man, who shall deliver me of the body of sin? I believe that God's people after grace know sin more than before grace. It humbles them. And therefore Mary said that thou hast seen the tapinosis maiden. In Dutch we say the nederige. No, not the nederige. I'm not humble. He humbled me. Do you see the difference? People say, I'm humble. I say, you're not humble if you're tired. But if God humbles you, then you know what's humble. And how humbles you? Tell me how he humbles you. By kissing you while you don't deserve it, he humbles you. And you say with Peter, oh, leave me alone. I'm a sinner. I'm not worthy to be thy child anymore. And the more you know it, the more you hate sin, and the more you love righteousness, and the more you have a desire to be delivered from the body of sin. Do you know when you will be delivered of that dirty body of sin? In the cemetery of the Lord Jesus, when you're buried in his sepulchre. It's a warm sepulchre. It's the best sepulchre. When Klaas will be delivered of Klaas. And Jacob and Mary and Joanna and Peter. When this horrible will be closed with glory. And then glorification. That's entering into the glory of God. And people say to me, I'm happy if I would be there. I say, I tell you a story. If you're there, you're not happy about yourself, but about him.
people think I'm happy and if I'm in heaven and I'm happy that I'm there. You're not. You're looking to him and never looking to yourself anymore. And even if your husband is there, or your father or mother, or child of God, your friend, he doesn't look to you. He looks to his precious husband. And Christ will come and say, Father, thou hast given to me, and he gives you back to his Father without spot and wrinkle. And then God will be all in all. For the purpose of glory, for the purpose of grace in glory, God will be glorified for mercy's sake, after the good pleasure of his will. And then I hear people, now I'm going to mother. I'm not saying, and I don't know, but I'm not saying your mother is not there. Probably she is there, your wife. But you're not going to mother. You're going home to your spiritual husband, to the home of your Father, with many mansions, to the glory of grace. When the heavens will be full of glory. I can't imagine it. But that day I will be full of God and empty of myself. I will never purpose myself anymore. I will, all the saints will sing everlastingly of the glory of grace, the glory of mercy, to praise God everlastingly. And now I'm asking you, what's your salvation? Tell me. Praising God. Hey, yeah. When was the last time that you were singing in the night the praises of his name? That's a pretaste, a foretaste of eternal salvation. And every child of God knows this. Therefore Job says, when this skin by all the worms is, he says, out of this body I will meet God. And then he says something, another strange God, I know him in Christ, for no one comes to the Father than by me, and no one comes to the Son unless the Father, by effectual calling through word and spirit, brings you to the knowledge of the Son. It's reciprocal. It's reciprocal. He in me, and I in him. That's the way. He doesn't save you and say, no, I'm elected. No, if you're elected, you will know what saving grace is. He elects you also to the means, to the mother you had. I remember for the first time hearing the gospel. Young boy, probably, I don't know, 12 years, and my father was in the consistory, and I always, after service, went to the consistory room and waited for him. And there was a minister, he preached about the fishnet. And I knew I was caught. And foolish eye that I am, I thought, he knows that I'm caught. But he didn't even look at me. But I was caught. I felt the power. And to lose and all, like Levi. Pastor, stop preaching about yourself. No, I should witness. If I'm not able to witness, I'm not worthy to stand on this pulpit even. You don't need dogmata. And are you witnessing? May I ask you, can you, by grace? Why are you so silent for our youth? We have a youth meeting this week. Why don't you tell what God did to your soul? Is a fruit of grace, or can't you? Are you stranger to God and your own soul still? On your way to hell, and if you die this night, it's everlastingly too late. Oh, ye sinner, hear, hear, hear! Whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified in Christ, in heaven already by faith. But lastly, seeing him like he is, and he'll see me like I am, new, without spot or wrinkle. Now, congregation, then Article 8, there are no various degrees. The Mennonites believe that you could be called to faith, but they unloosened, made loose faith with salvation. So you could be called to faith, but faith wouldn't be the surety of your salvation. Why? You could lose faith. Do you know what they said? They said this. If on your deathbed you don't have a living faith, you're lost. I've heard Arminians saying, I've been born again and now I have to be born again and I have... And even in our Reformed so-called circles, they teach it that you can lose your faith. No! No! If God gives you true faith, he never takes it away. Do you know what you're doing if you're a remonstrant? Taking the consolation out of the souls of the people of God. And God is sure. They say with the Roman Catholic Church there are seven main sins, head sins. And if you have one of those sins, then after grace you're lost anyways. But if on your deathbed you have a saving faith, you're saved. And if not on your deathbed, you might have faith in this life. But if it's not on your deathbed, you're even lost. That's how they teach you. Foolish people they are. They make of God a yo-yo. Today is yes and tomorrow it's no. Foolishness. Taking the comfort away of the children of God as sinners, resting in his good pleasure, in their eternal Savior, for the glory of his name. And now I'm saying a bit different thing, but I'm saying it after McChain. If you ever have believed once truly true, it's for eternity, a surety in Christ Jesus. May God bless his word. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, they always want to take the glory of thee away and put it in the hands of men, the hinges of faith by which the door turns or closes. My faith, my works. But if we read this article, it's all outside of us. It's all by thee and unto thee. Out of thee, by thee and unto thee. That's the glorious salvation of eternal redemption. lives in Christ. And we live in a day and age that the one says, I know my misery, that's enough. No, it brings you to hell. Yeah, but I hope, and other people say, I hope, and I say, what's your hope? It's the hope of a spider, probably. Is Christ your hope, received by revelation out of the hands of the judge? Lord, we pray that Thou would give that grace. We pray for our friends in the Netherlands, for the congregations and the people of God whom we love and whom they love us. Also here. Our church, what's a church? We couldn't go along, and we're even strangers in church fellowships. They all preach promises, but never cutting by the law, never engrafting in Christ, never preach judgment, serious. And in judgment set free. We need to go back to the Reformation, to Luther, to Calvin. He wasn't different. And later, to that old minister that was the last preaching long gospel. Fender grew, and he's despised, and oh, Fender grew. But Fender grew was right, he preached judgment, and in judgment, being freed from judgment, in him who took my burden and my cross, and let me go. Pronounced righteous, in his righteousness imputed to me, put on my account, which I didn't deserve. Have mercy upon us, Lord, this week. When catechism classes start and young people are gathering together, when we have during the week an English service, make us hungry for it and not vomiting like the dogs. The good food, we ask it for Jesus' sake. Amen. And let's sing at the end 217, 23 and 4, 217, 23 and 4, where we will sing together, O Lord, our Savior, help and glorify Thy name, and what's following.
that you really may go in peace to your houses, receiving the blessings of the living God, the love of God the Father, the grace of Jesus Christ, and the communion with the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.